Hello everyone and welcome back to our episode of Between the Lines podcast. Here I am today with a very special guest. Thank you, Josh, for coming on.
I'm delighted to be back, Rory. It's a real pleasure to be on.
So today we've got the NFL free agency episode today. Now, as you guys know, if you were listening, I had some Giants free agency kind of valuations, talks, obviously episode earlier this week. But I thought I'd do obviously the whole. As you can tell by the title, we're doing AFC today, so I just split it up. I was debating whether to do by division, go in more detail, but that'd be way too long. And I'm not sure everyone's really interested in that. So we're splitting up AFC and NFC. AFC will be today, NFC will be in a few days' time, next episode. And we're going to look at generally kind of winners and losers. Obviously, we won't be able to kind of talk about every single move, which is the main ones, and hopefully some of your favourite teams were mentioned. So first of all, we'll go to the AFC East. Josh, who are your winners, the AFC East?
That's a good question. I like some of what the Jets are doing, actually. Bringing Carl Lawson, I think that's the flagship signing to me that I really like. Bringing an edge out there. Not huge money, $50 million a year for him, which is obviously a lot for an edge, for a really good edge, high-quality guy like him. That's a good price to pay, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think in comparison to to the other edges available, I think they did pretty well. Obviously, you look at his numbers, they didn't really jump out to you, especially in comparison to other edges in the market. He had 5.5 sacks this year. Still not as good as his rookie year, which got 8.5 sacks 4 years ago. But he's a guy that is consistent in pressure. He's one of those guys that, he may not be getting the most stats, but he will elevate the whole team and be constantly disrupting the quarterback. And it's just one of those guys that kind of, it's more than just what the stat sheet says. And so even though the average fan might look at it, and I was kind of looking at it before and thinking, 15.5 mil or 15 mil for him, it's quite a lot. But in reality, edge rushers are a coveted prize on the free agent market.
Yeah.
And to get one that good at that price, at that age as well, he's 26, is he? 25, 26?
Yeah, he's a piece to build.
25, yeah. So I mean, he's a good guy to build around for the future for the Jets.
Yeah, and I mean, just quickly, finally on Carl Lawson, he's kind of similar price to Trey Hendrickson. Lots of the other edges that were on the market, but I think he's clearly the best of those guys. So it just says a lot about the business they've managed to do there.
Yeah, exactly. I love what they did in terms of, obviously, we'll see, come late April, whether Sam Darnold is their guy, but they've surrounded whoever they want their future quarterback to be, or their current quarterback, Sam Darnold, with some good weapons and depth. Mm. They've signed Corey Davis with a 3-year, $37 million deal. Talking to Josh earlier about this and how that fares up in comparison to other receivers like Will Fuller getting a 1-year deal with $10 million. I think obviously $13 million is pricey for someone like Corey Davis, who hasn't eclipsed 1,000 yards in his career yet, and he just had his breakout year in which he got I think it's 980 yards.
I think you're right there.
Yeah, 980 yards or so. Let's see here quickly. 184 yards, 5 touchdowns. So he's decent, good number two option.
Yeah.
See, he's going to a worse offense in the Jets at the moment in comparison to the Titans. But I think, with the salary cap going up next year, potentially by $20 million or so, it could be one of those deals where if he plays well, that's a great bargain. Because let's say he signed a 1-year deal, eclipses 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, whatever, hits free agency, he'd be wanting 16, 17, 18 plus mil, especially with the salary cap going up.
Yeah,
but if they manage to keep him at $13 million like in the contract, it could work out great. Obviously, we'll come back in a year or so, and if he is not what the Jets had hoped, they could definitely be a loser. Other notable signings, they recently signed Sheldon Rankins on a 2-year deal, solidifying up the offensive line next to Quinnen Williams. Got a linebacker in Jared Davis, 1-year, $7 million deal. They tagged Marcus May, holding in that defensive secondary, and then added to that with LaMarcus Joyner. A bit of slot, nickel, a bit of safety, a bit of corner.
And if you look at how many picks they've got in this draft, you're starting to see the kind of building blocks of a really strong team there. We won't go into who we think they'll pick now, but they've got a lot of high picks, so could do some good stuff in New York.
Yeah. And then as we have our losers, Josh, who would your loser be?
I think we're agreed on this one. I think the Patriots have had a bit of a nightmare. It's kind of like Bill Belichick thinks he's got like 1 or 2 years left and he's just chucking the money at it. This isn't to say there'll be a bad team this following year. It's the kind of long-term implications of some of the money they've thrown around for pretty subpar players. You look at spending kind of 87.5 million combined on Hunter Henry and Johnny Smith, two tight ends. That's just a luxury I don't think you can afford to pay at this stage, especially when you're spending 26 million over 2 years for Nelson Aguilar, a wide receiver who is, I think anyone who's watched much of the NFL could tell you he's not worth that money.
I mean, he'd have a breakout year, obviously, but you know, I think it's a bit too little too late. And I think the signs they made, I mean, they've spent more guaranteed money this year. They spent 10 times more they spent more guaranteed money this year than they had in the past 10 past seasons combined.
Yeah.
Because Bill Belichick way was building through the draft, developing players, then letting the market and get their comp pick. Yeah. You know, I think some of these signings, I guess we'll see how they work out. I definitely like what they've done in the offensive line in terms of getting Trent Brown back. I mean, I think of a fifth round pick, re-signed David Andrews. They let Joe Tooney hit the market and get his bag. Yeah. And they just replaced him simply with Michael Onwenu, who was, a fifth round pick last year?
Yeah, he was
very, very good.
Really strong player.
And so offensive wise, I mean, they get weapons. They're getting weapons to Cam or whoever their future quarterback might be, if that's Jimmy Garoppolo or maybe a Mac Jones. I mean, they're apparently infatuated with Justin Fields. We'll see if they're able to trade up from 15 to get him.
Four, maybe.
Exactly. Well, I guess we'll see. It's probably going to be a trade up or something. Yeah. Some kind of luck is going to have to go their way.
You're going to have to trade up, but trade up at least a little bit to get him.
Yeah, exactly. But then as well, I mean, with the weapons, obviously Hunter Henry and Johnny Smith, they're good tight ends, but paying two tight ends, as you said, a lot of money, $12.5 million a year, it is risky. Now, they will be running, obviously, two tight end sets heavily, like the kind of, Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see how productive that is. Then in wide receiver signings, what I found is I don't like the wide receiver signings in Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar just because they've thrown a decent amount of money at them, and a 13 a year for Nelson Aguilar and then about 7-8 a year for Kendrick Bourne. But they're throwing money at wide receiver threes, wide receiver fours. Mm-hmm. Like their current wide receivers are Julian Edelman, Jacoby Myers, Nikhil Harry, now Aguilar and Bourne. They're decent. They're nice depth. If one of them gets injured, other one can step right up.
One in there as well. It's the
Well, I'd say right now it'd be Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, exactly.
Breakout year.
But I mean, there's kind of a lot of wide receiver twos, wide receiver threes in there.
Yeah,
a lot of slot guys. I think the Aguilar signing for me was just indicative of poor strategy here, and that really big, really early. Didn't wait to see how the market would materialize, and wide receivers were not valued highly this year. I mean, who am I to tell Bill Belichick he's got it wrong? But I think he's got it wrong here.
Yeah, exactly. I guess time will tell. I'm going to quickly move on to some other teams just so they're mentioned. The Bills made sure to definitely retain their championship or close to, AFC championship side in re-signing Darrell Williams, John Feliciano, Matt Milano, Levi Wallace. Good deals for them. And Emmanuel Sanders to replace the exiting John Brown. They also brought in Mitch Trubisky in a backup deal, which I really liked. Only 2.5 mil, 1.5 of it guaranteed. A brilliant deal. If Josh Allen, I think people kind of forget the value of backup quarterbacks. It's kind of seems like, oh, it's just a luxury to have. But the amount of times quarterback gets injured and then teams play it's just inconsistent. Mitchell Trubisky obviously is not worth, let's say the pick he was and the money maybe that he was getting paid even on his rookie deal. As a backup, you could definitely have worse backups. And at that price, I think it's brilliant business.
Yeah, especially
of the Dolphin. Oh, sorry,
especially when your quarterback plays like Josh Allen does. He's a guy who takes contact. He pays a heavy price for the way he plays. So having a decent backup, much better than Matt Barkley, is not a bad way of doing things.
Yeah, exactly. The Dolphins, quickly mentioned, they kind of sit in the middle of the pack. They traded away... what's his name? Shaq Lawson Houston Texans for Bernardrick McKinney. I like this trade. They definitely strengthened their linebacking core, especially after letting go of Raekwon McMillan and now Carl Van Noy. They pretty much traded Devon Godshaw for Adam Butler. I guess we'll see who ends up the winner between the Patriots and the Dolphins. They signed centers such as Matt Skura to replace the departing Ted Karras. They signed, obviously, Will Fuller. They traded for Isaiah Wilson and shortly released him. They got a nice backup running back in Malcolm Brown, but their running backs seem to be just very, running back twos, decent. But I guess maybe as the NFL kind of develops, this is kind of seeming the way, a running back by committee. So I guess we'll see how that goes. I love the signing of Justin Coleman, a really good slot receiver who was released from the Lions, only 2.75 million. This means they can, drop Noah Igbinogu, say his name, as a, rotational role, let him develop a bit more. And their secondary is looking very, very strong.
Yeah, Yeah, I think as you said, some decent business there. It's not going to win in the division. It's not going to get them into the playoffs, but combined with a good draft, you're looking at a pretty good team if they draft well this year. But it's a bit of a make or break draft, I'd say, for the Dolphins.
Exactly. Now, moving on to the AFC North, your division. Who do you have as your winners and losers?
Well, I think the winners and losers here are quite clear. I think the Browns quietly have gone about some really good business. Re-signing Rashad Higgins very cheaply. Bring in basically 40% of the Rams' secondary, which was the best secondary in the NFL last year. I mean, admittedly,
in the world, yeah.
a lot down to Jalen Ramsey, but I think John Johnson is probably one of the best signings in free agency.
Oh, 100%.
Really, really good player.
Signing.
Great leader. So I think that one's great. He reforms the secondary. Again, the Browns still have work to do. They didn't get the edge that they wanted, but I think it's kind of the opposite of the Belichick approach. The GM, Andrew Berry, clearly waited, didn't want to overpay. They went for JJ Watt, but didn't pay him as much as the Cardinals would have. Didn't want to overpay, and he'll use the draft to put the team in a good position long term with some big re-signings coming up in the next few years. So I really like what the Browns have done. And I think in terms of losers, I think the Ravens haven't had a bad free agency. There are some good signings in there. Kevin Zietler's a good guard. I think the one you look at is not getting that wide receiver one. That's criminal.
I mean, I think there's definitely opportunities to do that. Obviously, you know, you've seen the market is definitely, you know, not as valuable as maybe certain wide receivers had hoped. I think it's interesting to see, you know, they could try and get like a Sammy Watkins. Yeah. They brought in for a visit. They could try a Golden Tate. They could also try and really go for a home run hit and use their first round pick either on a receiver if they have someone for that, like Rashad Bateman potentially or Kadarius Toney, or they go for a proven win now move or proven wide receiver and a win now move and maybe try and trade for Allen Robinson.
I mean,
that'd be brilliant, and that's exactly what the Ravens need, a big target, a big red zone target.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure you'd have to give up a first round pick to get Allen Robinson.
I think we'll see. Yeah.
I think the problem I have is that for a win now team, drafting a wide receiver one, you're putting a lot of your eggs in a basket. And it could turn out like Justin Jefferson did last year, and it could be brilliant. But at 20 as well, it's not like you're going to be able to draft Jamar Chase. Like,
There's also been another Marquise Brown kind of way. He's decent, but not a game changer, which is what Lamar needs.
You're gambling, which is the issue I have. But then I think the clear loser, I think, has got to be the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Not the clear loser. They clearly, maybe I'm being too harsh because they've got massive cap issues and they have re-signed some players like Cam Sutton and Juju. I just think there are a couple of guys who've left, like Steven Nelson, they've had to release today, Bud Dupree, and you look at
Avery Williams.
Yeah, exactly. You look at it, and it's and their whole offensive line's gone, basically. Villanueva, Pounce.
Yeah.
You look at it, and suddenly they're a team that's been shorn of its big players, but they've gone for a luxury of bringing back Juju Smith-Schuster, who's a kind of archetypal wide receiver two. Like, I think it's quite problematic for them. And I think what they should be doing is protecting their real assets, and that's TJ Watt long term, basically.
Yeah.
And him losing the edge rusher opposite him, that puts a lot of strain on him. Like, look what happened to Myles Garrett at the end of last season. He was the only edge rusher. It's really difficult to perform. So that's the issue I have with the Steelers and them.
No, right. I think the Steelers kind of had, there's a bit of confusion in the front office, I'd heard. I can't remember what source it was, but I remember a week ago, I remember reading about how certain members in the front office really wanted to re-sign Bud Dupree, to the point that they weren't worried about not being able to pay TJ Watt as long as they had Bud Dupree. I'm not sure how reputable this source is or reliable it is, but I would be surprised, seeing as, you know, I guess the direction the Steelers are headed in. I like this Juju re-signing in terms of value. I think if they resigned him for more than, you know, 12, 13 million a year in a multi-year deal, it would be questionable, seeing the depth they have with Chase Claypool Washington. Emerging. You have James Washington, Deontay Johnson, they're not short of depth at receiver. They're also lacking that true number one. I guess we'll see how
Chase Claypool develops. Yeah, they do draft well at receiver.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. My clear losers were the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, some of the signings I did like, but you know, let's say talk about Trey Hendrickson. You replaced Carl Lawson with Trey Hendrickson. Pretty much the same money. You put one year longer deal, but you pretty much saw Trey Hendrickson had, you know, was it 13 and a half one sacks this year? He's brilliant, but it's just one good year. And you know, you have Carl Lawson, who was disruptive, pressures, QB hits, general impact on the defensive line, on the QB. And he already fits the scheme, has been there since he's been drafted and developed. Trey Hendrickson is coming in the program, he's new. You don't know how he will do. He just had one good year of development. He could have just been a product of their system. And so, therefore, it's a very risky signing. I think as well, I mean, they did well in the cornerback market to try and replace William Jackson, who signed a 3-year... $45 million deal with the Washington football team. They signed Mike Hilton as a slot, Cherby Awuzier. They recently just signed Eli Apple, who, as a Giants fan, I've come to absolutely love when he's not on my team. And I think in that sense, they also signed Larry Ogunjobi to replace Jim Atkins. I think defensively they've done okay. Offense isn't great, but I like those signings. Offensive, I mean, you need to commit your season to building around Joe Burrow. I understand there's, you know, you might try and look for a receiver. They were apparently in on the Kenny Golladay sweepstakes. But you got to look to the number one thing. I mean, if the Super Bowl told you anything, it doesn't matter how good your quarterback is. If you can't protect him, you can't do anything. And the Bengals have been, you know, time and time again, it's, you know, they've been kind of, I wouldn't say told, but if you look around, anyone saying anything, it's about protecting Joe Burrow. He went down with an ACL injury late in the season because he was getting sacked. It happened during a sack, I believe. And they went and signed Riley Reiff. Yeah, they went and signed Riley Reiff, which is a decent signing, but he's not, you know, he's not great, but I don't mind it. Quinton Spain's a decent deal as well. You know, he's returning to Cincinnati. But, you know, I think they really should have been more aggressive in trying to get offensive line help. I mean, sure, it's a lot of money to throw out to guys like Corey Linz and Leo Joe Tooney, but at least if you're showing interest there and making aggressive pushes, it can have a good reflection on Joe Burrow, or a sense that Joe Burrow can view that actually his team is building around him. They still have the draft. I think if they don't go someone like Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater at 5, they are professionally drunk.
But also, you look at it and suddenly AJ Green's gone. You've got T. Higgins, who had a good first year. But aside from that, Burrow hasn't really got a huge amount of receiving talent to play with.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the thing is, like, Tyler Boyd or Tate, they're decent, but he's actually number one.
And that's the issue, because now suddenly you're having to go with someone like Penei Sewell at 5 and potentially having to pass. I mean, Penei Sewell is a great player if he falls to them, even. But suddenly, because they've spent so much money on the defensive side of the ball, they haven't been able to upgrade the offensive side of the ball that they needed to. And suddenly a player as good as Joe Burrow is going to go to waste, really.
Exactly. Moving on to the AFC South. Very interesting division. We'll see, you know, teams like the Texans really, you know, dip their foot in the pond. Dip their foot in the bucket, maybe. You know, they've made a lot of cheap signings, which, you know, depth-wise, it's great, but I guess we'll see what happens. I have as my clear winner. Maybe not clear, but my winner is the Colts. Now, you may be thinking, what, like, they've done nothing. They've traded for Carson Wentz, which is a nice trade. Trade a third and a future second that may become a first.
On that, though, if it doesn't become a first, it's a bad trade, because, like, the condition is he's got to play 70% of snaps for it to come a first. If he doesn't play that, so then it's a failure anyway. So he basically traded a first for him next year.
I'll say Marlon Mack being re-signed for $2 million. I mean, obviously they're gonna have a crowded backfield. But I think if they're going to re-sign Marlon Mack for a big contract, then it's very, very questionable. But it's pennies on the dollar. They've got a nice backfield. I'm sure Jonathan Taylor will lead the way and Marlon Mack will become the backup. He's also got Naheem Hines as a good receiving back. They re-signed Xavier Rhodes. Rhodes is currently closed now in Indianapolis. And I think, you know, they're retaining their team. They got Sam Tevy, who started for the last 4 years for the Chargers, or maybe 2 years for the Chargers at left tackle. So he'll be a decent starter in which they could potentially still draft a tackle in the draft. They also, you know, keep in mind that they need to keep money to be able to resign their most important players in Quentin Nelson, and then also the other members of the offensive line. As their offensive line is a big strong point, especially for Carson Wentz's health. So overall, I really love what they've done in the offseason. Not flashy. They may bring back T.Y. Hilton. I think it's a good idea to do so. But it's just very solid offseason, solid free agency.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Yeah, it's nice and solid. No real splashes, but at the same time, they've got, again, they're another team, big re-signings coming up. Wentz's contract is big. I'm going to have to re-sign Quentin Nelson at some point. They've obviously lost Justin Houston, but at 20 in the draft, I think you can draft a pretty good edge. So yeah, good stuff from the Colts, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? The loser here, I think, has got to be the Jaguars.
Yeah.
If you look at it, they've signed a huge number of players. I mean, it's kind of like Urban Meyer's gone, oh, look at all this money I've got, because he had so much cap space and he's just burned it all on some kind of average NFL.
Yeah, it's kind of seen no ridiculous kind of, you know, no kind of top caliber players, just very, very decent average starters, which, you know, maybe in the future may not be the worst thing because you're not overpaying anyone too much. But, you know, in terms of that, I look at someone like Shaquille Griffin. It's a nice signing, but, you know, they're getting the number one corner, but 3 years, $44 million, it's a hefty deal. And, I mean, obviously, they're trying to, you know, come back to the glory days of 2017, 2016, Jaguars defense, you know, with Jalen Ramsey. And, I mean, I think if I was them, I would have kind of rather invest in the offense, you know, building around Trevor Lawrence or, you know,
Trevor Lawrence.
Like they brought in Marvin Jones for the set. Jamal Agnew is a return man, paying him $7 million a year to be a good return man. See how Junkie. That value works out. It's decent, but it's like, you know, Marvin Jones, he's a show of his former self, which is a shame because I really like watching him in Detroit along with Kenny Golladay. But you know, currently, if you look at his stats, I'll just pull them up real quick. He currently this year had 978 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns, which is good. But that's when he stepped up, you know, to be the main receiver after Kenny Golladay went down in week 5.
With a really, really good QB, and you don't know if he's going to be that.
Exactly. So, you know, I think he'll still be a decent guy, and he'll be a good, you know, number 2 option next to DJ Chark. But even DJ Chark, he's good, he's young, but is he your number one guy? I think the thing is, they'll be decent, but I think when you're bringing someone like Trevor Lawrence with a rookie quarterback, you just want to give him the best options possible. And it'd be so, so great for his development if you could just give him a number one receiver. I mean, I'd still be interested to see potentially if the Jags try and trade for Allen Robinson, because he said he'd be open to returning back to Jacksonville. And with their, what pick do they have? They have multiple firsts?
I don't think so.
I'm thinking of, no, they have the Jalen from the Jalen.
Oh yeah,
they
got the Rams one, obviously.
I believe. Pick 25. With that, I'd be wondering if they could maybe throw out Chicago potentially, maybe Allen Robinson plus.
With that much cap space, you're kind of looking at it and going, is Allen Robinson better than the player you draft at 25? The answer is probably yes. Like almost.
Exactly.
So. So I think that's a question they've got to ask because they've got so much cap space. But it's a question that's harder to answer because they've wasted so much money on average players.
I also really don't like the Titans offseason at all.
Spending that much on Bud Dupree.
They're trying to contend. Yeah, they're trying to contend, obviously. They're a good team. I mean, offensively, they let Corey Davis and Johnny Smith go. Which I think it's the exciting, relatively expensive deals, but you know, AJ Brown's going to struggle because he's now going to become the main focal point if they don't bring another receiver. Ryan Tannehill needs more options. They brought in Josh Reynolds, but he's a nice always third, fourth option.
He's always injured as well.
Sorry? Yeah, exactly. And then defensively-wise, they brought back Jayon Brown for him to reset his market on a one-year deal. They then signed Bud Dupree to a 5-year deal worth $85 million, but $35 million guaranteed. Now, I'm not hated Bud Dupree. I wouldn't have hated him to come to the Giants. On a team-friendly deal.
Everyone's
in. Yeah, exactly. I mean, because he's 27 years old. This will run until he's about 32. I imagine in terms of cap wise, he could probably be released in the final year or two with minimal dead cap. But you know, he got 8 sacks this year in 11 games. But also, so it's decent, it's very, very risky playing across from TJ Watt.
Playing across from TJ Watt is gonna get 8 sacks. Like the guy's a beast.
Leonard Floyd, who was, you know, at this point when Chicago goes to the Rams and he gets 11.5 sacks.
It's kind of 10.5 sacks. And spending 35 million guaranteed on that is risky. I mean, in fairness, their defense was horrible last year and held them back massively because that was
wrong. Yeah, they need pass
Derek Henry plus a pretty competent passing game is hard to stop, but so hopefully it comes good for them, but it's not amazing.
And then I thought I'd mention, I mean, a move that I love as a Giants fan, but if I was a Titans fan, I'd hate, is the release of Adoree' Jackson. Adoree' Jackson, he's the 4th-ranked corner with about an 85 overall PFF grade in terms of outside coverage, only behind Stephon Gilmore, Richard Sherman, and who else was it? One of the really good corner, obviously. I'll have a look for that. But pretty much in conclusion, he's a good corner. He's a very, very good corner. And I can't find that stat. But in 2019, he allowed 479 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns on 548 coverage snaps, which works out to about 0.87 yards per coverage snap. So it's very, very good. They released him for cap, in which they freed up about 10 mil. He was a very good player. He was their number one corner. And then they signed Janoris Jenkins on a multi-year deal to replace him. I just think, I don't understand it. Like, their defense has gone from bad to worse. Janoris Jenkins is, although, you know, he's not bad. He's a show of his former self. He's not as good as Adoree' Jackson, or even in terms of potential as well, because Adoree' Jackson's 25. I just think, you know, obviously they released him to save cap, but I'd rather have Adoree' Jackson than 10 mil free, I think. Unless especially they have a direct plan, they're going to follow up. I mean, they signed Danico Autry as an end. Yeah, I mean, they signed Danico Autry, 3-year deal. It's just a very below average offseason. I'd be really disappointed if I was a Titans fan, to be honest. But they're the draft to look forward to. Be interesting to see what they do. They could look for a receiver. I hope they look for a receiver. You can see them dipping their fingers into the wide receiver market this year in terms of free agency to get a guy like Golden Tate potentially to play in the slot. Guess we'll see. Still a lot of free agency left. Only about 50% of signings have been done. It's just all the flashy ones are done. But there'll even be very good ones, like many impactful starters will still be signed. And so moving on, the AFC West finally. I want to hear who are your winners and losers, the AFC West.
Well, I think in terms of winners, I really, really like what the Broncos have done. Kyle Fuller, 1 year, $9.5 million. Brilliant signing. And obviously that money's going to go up next year, but it's really good for them this year. Justin Simmons as well, tying him down long term. The guy's a beast. Quality player. It's just the huge. They look with this some of this business, they look like a team in a position to do some good stuff, but it's just, is Drew Locke good enough to play for a high level NFL team?
I mean, I think that's the question. Obviously, people when he was drafted, seems great value, and he's better than Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins, and
that's not saying much.
Great, and although I do like a potential, watch your mouth. I'd say you know he threw this year in how many games? 13 games this year. He threw for nearly 2,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Obviously, high on the interceptions. He had Colin Sutton now injured. Number one receiver.
In fairness, very few quarterbacks don't have a slump in their sophomore year, in their second year.
Either they do amazing.
Happens to Baker Mayfield. They do terrible. I mean, the issue you have is that the rest of the team seems to be functioning really well. I wish him well because he's got a good team around him, very good receivers, very good tight end, Noah Fant. Offensive line that started to come good last year, and hopefully it comes good because if he's the missing piece, isn't he?
Yeah. It's nice to see Garrett Bowles actually finally growing to his Plenty of shoes under us. I think, you know, they re-signed Shelby Harris on a good deal, about $9 million a year. Interesting to see now what they do with their first round pick. Obviously, I won't go too into it, but they were slated to get a corner, but now the signs of Ronald Darby and Kyle Fuller, they may look elsewhere. Potentially to linebacker, maybe. Micah Parsons, they could look to offensive line, to get Rashawn Slater.
I think really, this is a perfect example of what good NFL franchises do and use free agency for needs and wait for the draft for the best. Because if they're, I can't remember where they're picking, it's mid tens, isn't it? At nine, there's often going to be a stud who falls. Like last year, Isaiah Simmons, who fell to the Cardinals at seven. So at nine, you're in a really good position once you've sorted your need to just pick. There's going to be a really good player available there, whether it's Devontae Smith. I mean, that might be a receiver again, but you know what I mean.
Possibly
straight down. It's someone who really wants Devontae. Suddenly you're shot. Exactly.
Now, moving on, kind of, you know, I don't want to spend too long on this episode. I know people like shorter ones, but loser. I have tied to the Chiefs and the Raiders. Obviously, as aforementioned, the Chiefs, you know, their big problem was offensive line. And what do? They cut two of their best offensive linemen. They cut Mitchell Schwartz, who's an all pro right tackle, one of the best right tackles in the league. I know it's for cap reasons. So it's kind of like, you know, the hard thing they had to do.
But if it's for cap reasons, then they've spent $32.5 million guaranteed on Joe Tooney, a guard. Why would you spend your money on a guard as a tackle?
Baffling. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's very questionable. They brought back Mike Remmers. They brought Carl Long out of retirement. So you can clearly try and make amends to what they've done or try and work out something. They haven't been too active in the free agent market because of money. That's to let some people go, like Sammy Watkins. I guess we'll see what they do in the draft. I imagine they're going to draft a tackle like an Alex Leatherwood kind of player. He's actually really impressed at his pro day just today, as being reported. I guess we'll see. Yeah. They also have Lucas Niang coming back from his opt out last year at right tackle. So it's not as bad as it seems, but you know, you're going to be hopeful. They can also re-sign Duvernay, their guard who opted out. He's not bad.
Look at it, and they're an offensive line playing in front of Patrick Mahomes. Like, I'm sure they'll be all right.
Yeah. And then moving on, the Raiders. The Raiders are very, very, very interesting. I mean, they had a good offensive line, very deep. You know, Colton Miller, Richie Incognito, Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, and Trent Brown. What do? They trade three out of five of them. They traded away Rodney Hudson for a third and a seventh. They traded away Gabe Jackson for a fifth to the Seahawks, which I actually like that move, the Seahawks. Trade away Trent Brown to the Patriots for a fifth, pretty much. I feel like, you know, sure, they're shedding cap here, apart from Rodney Hudson. I think there was a, you know, internal disagreement there when he wanted to be traded. Actually, I think it was really unfortunate because apparently, according to reports, what happened was he said to them, I want to be traded or released. The media mistook that for he's getting released. His value in trade suddenly went really way down. And then, because news got out that he was going to be released or reportedly going to be released, then the Raiders actually wanted to trade him and he wanted to be traded or released. So they ended up only getting a third and a seventh, but they probably could have gone a bit higher, seeing as he's an all-pro center who has let up one sack this year and is extremely reliable, injury-free. He's going to be great for the Cardinals. In terms of what they did, they, you know, defensive line, they definitely improved it. They brought in Solomon Thomas on a one-year deal. They brought in Yannick Ngakoue, who's never gotten below eight sacks in a year. Brought in Nick Martin at center. A nice little replacement, but no Rodney Hudson. They brought back Richard Incognito after they released him. And receiver-wise, they replaced Nelson Aguilar with John Brown. Kind of similar. I'd say John Brown's a decent receiver. And then they've also brought in Kenyon Drake. Obviously, it's good to have, you know, a backup running back. Yeah. In terms of money-wise, they've given him $5.5 million a year.
Josh Jacobs, who you spent a pretty high draft pick on. It's just weird. Like, why would you do that when their roster is pretty bare elsewhere?
And then Chargers, I want to say, they kind of fall in the middle. They, you know, they're definitely going out to protect Justin Herbert. They signed Corey Linsley, the all-pro center, to a 5-year deal. The only thing is, he is 29 going on 30. So it will see. If he plays well and he's great for those 5 years or 4 years or 3 years, however long he'll be with the team, it's great. But if not, it's a big commitment to a centre. They'll sign Matt Falea, who can play put him a right guard or right tackle. They have a right tackle. They have Brian Bulaga. He's an age veteran, but he'll be good. Left side is definitely weak. We'll see how they address that potentially in the draft. Yeah. They then replace Hunter Henry with Jared Cook. Great value there. Jared Cook has been the old reliable on the Saints most recently. And I'll just pull up his stats quickly. Just have a look at how he's been doing. He recently got 5 and 4 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. So a nice red zone threat. You know, obviously the Titans aren't going to do amazing in terms of yardage. But I expect him to get around 600 potentially. I mean, they've got nice receivers in terms of Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Jared Cook now. They look to get in the late rounds another receiver. They also re-signed Michael Davis. I think they are looking a bit thin at corner, but their secondary is looking
they've
nice.
They've also...
And Chris Harris, yeah, Michael Davis.
His name Go completely on. Escapes me, but they've got the former Bronco, Chris Harris, corner as well. So,
yeah, just mentioned it. Yeah,
they've got the pieces that, I mean, the Chargers are always that team who people are like, oh, next year's their year. But you really think Justin Herbert's got a high ceiling. He's got good receivers around him. They sort out the offensive line. Brilliant. The dude's a stud, so.
Exactly. And defense is good. They let go of Melvin Ingram. They have Wosu there. They have Joey Bosa.
Exactly.
That about wraps it up for our episode today. It's been a bit longer than I hoped. There's a lot to get through. And we're coming with the NFC version of this soon, very soon, next episode. Thank you all for listening. I'll see you all next time.